Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary, and I'm reflecting on some of Jesus' most difficult teachings in the Sermon on the Plain. The Zen master Shichiri Kojun sat reciting sutras when all of a sudden a thief burst in, brandishing a sharp sword. He demanded his money or his life. "Do not disturb me," said Shichiri. "You'll find the money in the drawer over there." And then he continued with his sutras. After a little while he paused and he said, "Don't take it all. I need some to pay my taxes." The thief took most but not all of the money and he began to leave. Shichiri said, "Thank a person when you receive a gift." The thief said, "Thank you," and then he left. Sometime later, the thief was caught. He confessed to several crimes, including stealing from Shichiri. Shichiri was called as a witness, but, said Shichiri, "This man is no thief. I gave him the money, and he said thank you." Nevertheless, the thief was sentenced to prison. But after he was released, he went back to Shichiri, only this time as a disciple. I love this story of the thief who became a disciple, for it shows how to turn the experience of being stolen from into the experience of giving a gift, and how this act could transform an identity and a relationship. Yet when I encountered a thief at 3 o'clock one morning, when my husband was away, I didn't give him everything I had. When he asked me if I wanted my things back, I said yes. When it looked like he was about to settle in for a good chat, I told him he had to leave, and then I escorted him out of the building, locked the door, and went to the police. Did I fail? Perhaps. But there's an enormous difference between what a lone monk can do and what a mother responsible for 3 children can do with a thief in the middle of the night. I've been thinking about this difference and Jesus' sermon on the plain, and what strikes me is how much things rely on context. The big risk with Jesus' sermon is when it's used to justify passivity in the face of violence, or to scold a victim for not loving, blessing, and forgiving their oppressor. So let me be clear. Jesus is not saying here that a battered woman should go back to her abuser and cop a broken jaw this time. He is not saying that bullied children should do favours for their oppressors, and he's not saying that powerful people should tell victims to forgive and move on. His sermon was addressed to particular people in a particular time and place. And unless we understand these things, we will not be able to apply it well to our lives now. In his sermon, Jesus was teaching the 12. In other words, he's talking to a group. And this is a group of male peasants about how to resist being dominated and defined by anyone other than God. For example, when someone hits you on the right cheek, they're hitting you with the back of their hand. Man to man, this was and still is humiliating, for you being hit like a child or a woman, and no person in the first century world. When this happens, Jesus says, show them your left cheek. Invite the powerful person to hit you as an equal. Don't fight back, but don't cringe. Instead, calmly remind them that you are a man too. As for the cloak and tunic thing, back in those days people only owned 2 garments and they wore no underpants. When Jesus says, when someone takes your cloak, give them your tunic too, you become naked. So by giving them your tunic and exposing yourself, you are exposing your poverty and their greed and making them ashamed. In other words, disciples aren't called not to be dominators nor to be doormats. When we are hurt, We might feel tempted to retaliate, perhaps with punches or name-calling or backstabbing or caucusing or grumbling or humiliating or silencing or many other ways. Or we might feel tempted to pretend the hurt never happened. Jesus tells us not to get swept up into cycles of revenge, but he's not telling us to be passive either. Instead, he's telling us to try and disarm those who cause hurt by disarming ourselves. We are to let go of our own potential to hurt others, to put down our weapons, to choose not to use them, to become, by choice, vulnerable. We are not to play tit for tat. Instead, we must simply but actively love. So when somebody hates you, don't turn your back on them. Instead, do something good for them. When somebody curses you, don't curse them in return. Instead, offer them a blessing. When somebody treats you badly, don't tell everyone about it. Instead, pray for the strength of character to treat them well, and pray for healing of relationship. But even as you choose to love like this, know that there is no guarantee of success. Jesus himself says, don't expect a return. Only love can transform hate, but hate has the freedom to reject love. And even the most perfect love can lead to crucifixion. Loving like Jesus is difficult, and it's impossible to sustain alone. It requires community. Perhaps this is why Jesus' sermon is in the plural. Every time he says you, he's saying you guys, or yous, or you all. Because loving an enemy, or loving someone who's hurting you or the community, is about seeking to restore relationship. It's not about countenancing abuse or oppression. Instead, it requires an end to the behaviours which destroy relationship, and it takes community to achieve this, to place appropriate boundaries around oppressors, to protect victims from further harm, and to bless and pray for and with people who are struggling to pray for themselves. Love like this can never be naive, because it's rooted in an awareness of human sinfulness. It acknowledges our own propensity for violence, our own brokenness. And it's grounded in gratitude for the love, forgiveness, and mercy which God has already shown to us. Our awareness and our gratitude help us love not only our friends, but those who seek to wound or control. Because when we look at such people, we recognize elements of ourselves. Recognizing ourselves in others makes it easier also not to judge. Of course, Jesus is not telling us to reserve all judgment. We can't operate without some basic agreement about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Not all beliefs and behaviors are acceptable. But we must hold back from vicious fault-finding and condemnation. So we withhold judgment and forgive because we know our own faults and sins. It too easily could be us. We forgive also because there are times when people hurt without comprehension or act without understanding. Like Jesus then, we forgive for they do not know what they are doing. We might place boundaries around their behaviour, but these boundaries provide the space for them to learn and repent and grow. And we forgive because that is quite simply who we are in Christ. Ultimately, Jesus' Sermon on the Plain is not a list of instructions for individuals to follow, but a description of the posture we adopt together when we find a home together in the culture of a compassionate God. Grounded, humble, aware of our own sin, forgiving. Judge not, lest you yourselves be judged. Let's finish with another story. Once upon a time, a man was looking for a place to settle. He came into a new town, and he asked the barmaid what kind of people live there. She replied, "What kind of people were in the place you left?" "Awful people," said the man. "Liars and gossips and bullies and cheats. I couldn't trust them further than I could spit." "Oh, it's a terrible shame," said the barmaid, "but you better move on, because that's exactly the kind of people who you'll find here too." And the man left. Sometime later, another man came by, also looking for a new home, and he also asked the barmaid about the people in the area. The barmaid replied, "What kind of people were in the place you left?" "Oh, wonderful people," said the man. "Thoughtful, generous, forgiving, kind. I hated to leave them. I miss them already." "This is the place for you," said the barmaid, "because that's exactly the sort of person you'll find around here." Jesus said, "Don't condemn, and you all won't be condemned. Give, and it will be given to you all. A good helping, squashed down, shaken in, and overflowing. That's what will land in your lap." So tenderness, mercy, love, forgiveness. Let's know ourselves, let's know them for what they are, and let's throw them around in abundance. Amen. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and God bless you.